And the issue of investment funds buying up entire housing estates has caused considerable political tremors. There's been fierce opposition, criticism and considerable unease among government TDs at Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael meetings last night. Both the Taoiseach and Tánaiste have expressed unhappiness with the practice, and Micheál Martin has told the Dáil it was unacceptable and will be examined. The Green Party leader and Minister for the Environment, Climate and Communications and Transport, Eamon Ryan, is here in studio. Minister, good morning.
Good morning.
What are you and the government going to do to stop this practice that we're seeing now, where first-time buyers are further forced out of the property market by these deep-pocket investors buying up almost whole estates?
We do have to stop it. We can't have people being frozen out of the market. We need a whole variety of different solutions, but we can't have one investor being able to buy up, as I said, particularly on an entire estate. Minister O'Brien indicated, Dara O'Brien, a number of weeks ago, that he was looking to address it. Within, I believe, the best approach is in the planning system, where we can, with regulations, using designating the approach that are taken in different areas, stop the practice, particularly where large estates, as I said, every single house is bought out. It's legally complex and difficult. There are constitutional issues around property, but we will do it. I believe the best approach is through the planning approach, and it'll be Dara O'Brien who set that out. Critically, though, it's part of a wider approach. If we just did that, that wouldn't work. The affordable housing bill and measures introduced yesterday are going to be key. There has to be alternatives too.
We went through the affordable housing bill in some detail over the last 2 days, but staying with stopping these investment funds, are you talking about a ban?
I think in the planning system, there's a whole variety of different powers where you can designate or set regulations within conditions within planning permission and so on, so that you restrict the practice.
Can we explore some of those choices? I mean, could you be talking about restricting in the planning process? Could you do this one house, one individual or one couple?
Well, you could say that houses could be sold individually. As said, I don't have the details. It does have to be worked out by the Department of Housing in terms of how it's done. But the government has committed not to allow our housing market become dominated by large institutional investors who freeze the local our families out of the market completely.
Okay.
There is a role for those investors. We do need a mix of different solutions. We do need large apartment developments. We need to particularly implement the National Planning Framework, which promotes compact development. Mm-hmm. And that will see a whole variety of measures, including, and critically, the state. The key thing, the reason I mentioned affordable housing in my mind, is that the state also operates, particularly through the use of measures like cost rental housing and apartments, where the state is in the market, where the state helps give people choices mm-hmm. and options. The market is not functioning. We cannot rely on it. It is not the key lever to get us out of the housing crisis. It has to be other measures.
Okay. Do you know, or have you received, has the Cabinet received figures, how many houses have been bought up in newly developed housing estates in this country? I'm not talking about apartments now, Minister. I'm talking about houses in housing estates.
I think very, very small numbers. You have to remember the number of these investors.
Do you have a number?
No, but I'd say it's in the minimal, no more than 100, 200 or that sort of small number, hundreds.
Well, we know now that there's all but 35 of the houses in Maynooth, so that's about 145
It's not widespread, and we have to stop it becoming widespread.
And when will you stop it? How quickly can you move?
Dara O'Brien will move as quickly as he can within the legal constraints. It may require legislation. It does take time when you're addressing changes in the planning system, but the government is committed to doing that, and at the same time rolling out the whole variety of different housing options we need.
OK, I want to turn to Northern Ireland and two issues. I know you had a meeting yesterday, a resumed meeting of the North-South Ministerial Council with the Infrastructure Minister for Northern Ireland, Nicola Mallon, and this time the DUP leader, Arlene Foster. Did you know when that meeting took place yesterday that the British government was planning moves on this amnesty for army veterans who might be accused of and brought to trial on offences committed in Northern Ireland?
No, I didn't. I think we have to be just slightly careful on this. You have to remember, firstly, the news of that has only been reported in two UK newspapers. It is the morning of an election in the UK. There's also stories running in the UK papers about gunboats heading towards Jersey. And people, you can understand in politics, people sometimes play to their base. So we have to be sensitive, not just respond to newspaper headlines. But I know the Minister for Foreign Affairs did meet Brandon Lewis, the Secretary of State, yesterday. He made very clear at that meeting that we don't, we oppose unilateral moves with regard to the Stormont House agreement, that this is a highly sensitive issue, that we are thinking first, our thoughts first and foremost are with the victims and people who are seeking justice in this whole process. And we will strongly protect that Stormont agreement. It's agreement between two governments, every party in the North, except for, I think, for it was the UUP back in 2014 agreeing it. You don't abandon those agreements lightly, and we will seek to protect the provisions.
Just clarifying for me, did Simon Coveney know, or was he briefed by Brandon Lewis at their meeting yesterday, that this was on the cards?
I don't believe that it was discussed yesterday. The Stormont House Agreement provisions were discussed. Simon Coveney, I think, made it clear that we didn't.
But this move would be a breach of the Stormont House Agreement if the British government were to move on it. So I'm wondering if in that context then it was revealed to Simon Coveney by Brandon Lewis, or he had a heads up that
I don't believe it was, because as I said, had it been, it would have been a clearly very serious issue in that meeting. It would have immediately raised real concerns, which would have been addressed straight away.
Now, you had your own meeting, as I say, of the North-South Ministerial Council yesterday, and Arlene Foster took part in that meeting. Have you any assurances that with the change of leadership in the DUP, whether that's to be Geoffrey Donaldson or Edwin Poots, who's already refused to attend one such meeting, that these Ministerial Council meetings are in any way back on track?
I think they have to be, because they're part of the whole agreement. I'm very glad that we also have a British Irish Council meeting now coming up next month. I also had a meeting with Minister Poots on the environment side, and actually there was a high level of agreement on the benefits we can get on both sides of the, on all sides of the island, in maintaining high environmental standards. So that was I saw that as a really practical example.
But did you say to Arlene Foster yesterday, or when you met Edwin Poots, can we take it now, we're back on track here, lads, that these meetings are going to go on?
I'll be honest, you get into the business of the meeting. You kind of,
this
you
is
get
important
down to the
stuff.
It is, surely, but the
in the,
way
in the context of what's happening in Northern
Ireland. It is, surely, but
I've
worked in several occasions now, formerly back in 2007, 2011, with Arlene Foster, and again in this administration. The way you work with people is get down to the work. Get on with the measures that actually improve the lives of your people, the practical measures that actually bring benefits to your people. And it's by doing that, it's in the actual doing, you make the case, you show that this is needed, this has real benefit. And that's my, I think, was the approach yesterday at our meeting, which was a very, very positive one. It's actually getting on with the work, which is, I think, what the people on both sides of the border want us to do.
OK, can we move on to the vaccine rollout, which is continuing? We're told up to 240,000 vaccinations this week. We've had Leo Varadkar talking about potentially returning to a relatively normal life by August of this year. We've had the Taoiseach talking about potentially trialling outdoor sports events by July. How do you, Minister, see the next 2-3 months panning out? And with a particular emphasis, you know, in your own area of travel.
I would agree with what both Taoiseach and Tánaiste said. Can I just say, I think we need to look at it in a 2-3 year time frame. There was another development this year that's very significant, this week, where government agreed in principle with our European colleagues for a very large purchase into the next 2 years of Pfizer vaccines, mDRNA vaccines, which would continue to adapt on the basis of variants of concern that may arise. And that's really important. So COVID is not going to go away. It'll probably convert from being a pandemic to an endemic. In other words, and it's a real issue about the divide between the richer north part of the world and the southern. That's
indeed
a separate
but
issue
members of the public and businesses want to know, Mary, the immediate, Minister.
Yeah, OK, but I think they also need to know that it's not stop-start. And the prospect that purchases for the next 2 years of new versions of the vaccine, which allow us to protect against variants, in my mind is key. What that will allow us to do this summer is to start the opening up process. prices. We'll have to be careful, particularly in the next few weeks, but we're very close now to being in a much safer place. And yes, I expect further measures of relaxation in June, and then again in July and August, including the opening up of international travel, the return to college, critically, the return to work, the workplace for those who aren't already in the workplace. Most of us still are, in truth. But there will be a return to much more normal life. But the critical thing is then that we go into the autumn and we have the further backup that ongoing vaccination, which covers any potential variants. That's the way we'll manage this over the next 2 to 3 years.
On into the future. Your chief science advisor, Professor Ferguson, and it's an Irish Examiner story this morning, talking about the widespread use now of home testing, fast testing kits. Do you support that?
Yes. These are very different. If anyone's got a test so far for either PCR or an antigen test, it can be uncomfortable as it's taken, and it has to be taken by someone else. These new tests are much easier to do. You can apply it yourself, much easier to do. Not as accurate, but it does have a very high accuracy if you are actually transmissible at that particular time. By taking them twice a week, it allows us to have a screening process that will actually be able to identify clusters early, particularly for the likes of return to college or return to the offices, where people can do that on a routine mass screening basis. I think it is going to play a significant part.
All right. I want to ask you very quickly about driving tests. People are waiting. Sean Sherlock raised this from the Labour Party in the Dáil yesterday. People waiting 6 months for driving tests, and they're not able to access driving lessons. You promised, he said, to deliver 20 pop-up driving test centres. Will you deliver?
Yes. And on top of that, an additional 40 inspectors will be able to carry out tests. And on top of that, because this is a critical issue, particularly for a lot of younger people, we need to provide, or we're going to start now within this month doing online theory tests. So there's a backlog on those and in the driving test. And we will provide additional staff both for the theory tests and for the driving tests so that we do clear the backlog quickly. And that's
how quickly?
Well, the theory test typically it's about, in ordinary times we do about 15,000 a month. I want to double that. Okay. And similarly, when it comes to driving tests, those extra 20 centres, those extra 40 in inspectors, and if that's not quick enough, we will add a further 40 again, is what we've agreed. But it does take time. In ordinary time, it takes 7 months to get a test done. But we will clear the backlog within a matter of months.
In one sentence, answer Hazel Chu or Claire Byrne, who are you backing for the Green Party for the Dublin Bay South by-election?
Either would make a very good TD, and we're looking forward to internally selecting our candidate and then running a really good campaign.
Minister Eamon Ryan, thank you very much for joining us.